Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Lord, our Lord, Thy glorious name, all Thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore Thy glory shines. How great Thy name! Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how great Thy name! Thine the name of matchless worth, excellent in all the earth, how great Thy name! This song taken from Psalm 8 and put to verse in music. Listen as it's sung.
Oh,
reading from Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6. Romans 5 verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Let's give thanks for these words, and especially the way described in those words. "For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Let's give thanks and pray that we will have understanding of it, and that we will seek that great salvation, not staying in our natural way, but taught both by the Word and Spirit, all because of what Christ already paid for. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, giving thanks in His name for every blessing given, giving thanks first of all for the eternal blessings, the spiritual blessings, also giving thanks for the natural blessings that we have far above others. And we give thanks again for knowing the spiritual blessings, for having Thy Word. And we give thanks also for the measure that we have had Thy Spirit, that Spirit that we have grieved, that Spirit that we have well nigh quenched. And it could be said of us, as Stephen said to those in his audience, that you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Help us to see it, Father, that there are those resisting it openly, but also we can do it in a subtle way, in neglecting so great salvation and being lukewarm. And as Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, "I would that you were cold or hot, but being lukewarm, we will be spewed out of Thy mouth." And that's spoken to the church. And help us to see, Father, that the church, even today, is sadly in a dangerous place, rather than being as we should be, a salt and a light. We think of what is taking place in our nation, the unrest, the murmuring, the dissatisfaction, hearing so much of that and not hearing of the church. We give thanks that we hear from our president that we must pray. Pray for him as he is praying. And we do pray for him and for others in the Congress, both those that may have some right and those that are very wrong and very troublesome, taking away the blessings that we have been given by Thee from our forefathers, and wanting to, as it were, cast them away, and not wanting to continue in them, wanting to go in the sad way that other nations have gone and brought upon themselves destruction, terrible ways, murder, and much, much death and hardship. Many in our country, in the foolish way, are opposing both themselves and Thee. And we pray, Father, that our eyes may be open to it, and especially the church will not be in blindness. For Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. And we pray that we might come back to Thy Word more and more in the church, as took place in the Great Awakening during the time of the preaching of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield and Friedenheisen and Tennant and others at that time, that Thou didst call and teach and lead them to preach mightily from Thy Word. And we pray for that again, Father, that there might be laborers called to go into all the fields that are whiter than the harvest, where the laborers are filled, called into the nation, called especially into our homes, that they may be made right. both the homes that have been broken, where there are husbands and wives, the homes also that do not have husbands and wives, but are joined together, man and man, and woman, and not rightly so, in thy word, and help them to see it, Father, that they might also then see the good news, that they might see that thou hast so loved the world, that thou didst give for all perishing sinners thy Son, and help us to see, Father, rightly, and realize that if we are not perishing, we do not need a Savior, and only those that are perishing need to be saved by thee through Christ. We also give thanks for the natural blessings that we have in such abundance, and food and raiment. Thou hast said there would to be content when we have that, and we have it, Father, in abundance, and more than we need. Forgive us for wasting it, for any dissatisfaction when we have so much. We pray that we might rightly give it to those in need, that thou would lead us in that, and forgive us where we have been guilty. We pray for the sick. We pray for the injured. We pray for those in elderly. We pray for those in sorrow. We pray for the children in the broken homes. Pray for the church to teach also that what thou wast joined together, let not man put asunder. We pray for other needs that there are in many places, the persecuted ones, the war-torn lands, women that are slaves to the Islamic masters that have killed many times their husbands. All these, Father, we bring before thee through Christ for thy blessing in his name. Amen. Yes, in his name. As the song said, Lord, art Lord, thy glorious name. And as we can think of it in other places, how great that name. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be thy name. I wonder how much we really think about that when we speak the words. How much more we should probably want to do that. Hallow the name of God. Want it to be hallowed, not as it is today, despised. Especially his ways. We have here Paul's summary of what he has taught before, coming to that place, as we saw in the first part of that fifth chapter, justification, the gospel being applied. Yes, applied. Not just there, but applied to the sinner's heart. That brings justification. In God's mind, that happened also for Adam, for Abel, and for others all through the scriptures. That Christ died, as we read in the book of Revelation, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Abel knew it when he offered that lamb, that was a picture of Christ dying for him, for Abel. He was doing it by faith. And we read by the words of Christ, Abram saw my day and was glad. They looked forward. They saw what Christ was going to do. David spoke of his resurrection. Isaiah spoke of his suffering as if it had already happened, that he suffered for us, and by his stripes we are healed. Those in Isaiah's day. Hard to understand it, but it's true. And all we have to do is believe it. Yes, all we have to do is believe it as God states it, and then strive to understand it. Strive to give the understanding of it, as Paul does say to Timothy, to endure sound doctrine and to rightly divide the word of truth, not rest it to our own destruction, but divide it to God's glory. Divide it so that we see all of it as tending toward the glory of God, toward the glory of his grace, as we read in Ephesians chapter 1. We must see that here as well. I read a number of times last week, I think 6 times, that sin came by one, and 6 times that salvation came by one. Over and over, that's repeated in the last part of that fifth chapter. When George Whitefield preached here in the 1700s, he said there's 3 things that we especially must know. One is original sin. We are born in sin. We sinned in Adam. We died in Adam. The other is our actual sin, our sin against God's holy law, not loving God, sins of disobedience, sins of neglect, not loving, and then the sin of unbelief, not wanting to believe the gospel. That's probably the last one is very hard for us. We say, oh, well, I always believe the gospel, but we do not believe it rightly And Christ made that very plain shortly before he died. He says, when the Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin because they believe not on me. He said, that will be the Holy Spirit's work when he comes. And if the Holy Spirit has come to you, he will have convinced you of that you did not believe in Christ to his glory and to your salvation. We come short of that. I did for my first 28 years. So I believed in the name of Jesus, but not in the true person of Jesus. He was another Jesus, as Paul writes in the second letter to the church at Corinth, a coming short of who that one that is given by the glory of the Father, to the glory of the Father, exalted, given a name above every name, far above yours and mine, not one with us in that way of identification, but he does become one with us in taking our place and then even telling us in sanctification that we must abide in him and he in us, and then we will bring forth much fruit. And that comes later in this letter of Paul to the church at Rome. Somewhat it comes out in the 6th chapter, but then much more in the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th chapters, that we give our body the whole sacrifice, which is our reasonable service because of God's mercy to us, that is spoken of here and throughout the first part of this letter, that we sometimes describe as a picture of sin, salvation, and service, the three S's. And here we are in the way of salvation, learning how salvation takes place when we read in that 20th verse again, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is God's beginning with his Holy Spirit to teach us. He begins to teach us two things. One is that Christ is the Savior. He taught that in the beginning of this epistle. That's one of the first things that anyone that would not know about the gospel, he's writing to the church that have already learned it. But if someone would read this for the first time, they would read about Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. And then, speaking of that gospel, he said, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And if one goes back, we can find the first promise of that gospel, the coming of Christ, in Genesis 3:15. We can find it again, Genesis 12:3, where God said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And God repeated that the second time to Abraham after he had shown his willingness to offer up Isaac in Genesis 22. And then God repeated the same words, the promise of the coming of Christ to Isaac, recorded in Genesis 26, and also again to Jacob later in Genesis 28. And also Jacob spoke of it on his deathbed and said that the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. And then we have Samuel teaching it. We have David teaching it. We have Isaiah teaching it. And as Paul said here, taught in the Holy Scriptures. Yes, they are the Holy Scriptures given to us, an unholy people, that we might have the blessing as Abraham knew it, when Paul described him in the 4th chapter as believing in God who justified the ungodly. And as we also read in this 5th chapter here, that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Have you learned that you were not like God? Ungodly? Unlike him? Actually, the devil's children? There's a teaching that is contrary to that. Many of Abraham's descendants didn't think that. They just said, we're descendants of Abraham. That makes us different. But Christ said to some in his audience, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. You can read that plainly in John chapter 8. How did John the Baptist speak to those descendants of Abraham? He said, say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. He called them a generation of vipers. Vipers. little snakes, poisonous snakes. That's how he addressed his audience. And he called them to repentance. And those that believed it were baptized, many. And then we read, Christ baptized even more. And though we read with it, though Christ did not baptize himself, but the apostles. But because of Christ's teaching, many were baptized. Many evidently came to see their sin. Not all of them were the good ground hearers. As we mentioned a little while ago, there were some in that audience also that could be called the shallow ground hearers. As we can read in John chapter 6, when some of them said, "This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" And we also read a little further in that same chapter that from that time on, many of his disciples walked no more with him. What sad, sad, sad words, starting with Christ and then not wanting to hear the whole truth. How terrible, terrible, terrible. And we're in that place today, even as Paul said to Timothy, the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, the sound doctrine of what sinners we are, every one of us, every one have sinned and earned the wages of sin, which is death. And if you do not believe that, you simply do not believe the Scripture, the Holy Scriptures. You might believe what your church teaches. You might teach different doctrines. But that is not the doctrine of Scripture. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are we better than they? Paul asked in the third chapter, "In no wise we have together become unprofitable." And Psalmist says the same thing in Psalms 14, Psalm 53. He repeats the same words. It's there throughout Scripture. Holy Scriptures are right and how we need them. And again, Romans chapter 3. "But by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, not one. But by the law is the knowledge of sin." And that is the way that God brings us into his kingdom. As we read here, "Moreover, the law entered." It was there since God gave it on Mount Sinai. But before that, God's law to Adam was that he could eat of all the trees of the garden, but not the one. He said, when you break that law, you will die. You will become a sinner, dead in sin. And that's what took place. And it took place so that everyone born after that was in the sinful nature with Adam. And if many don't like to hear that, I've heard people say, "Well, Adam sinned, he was probably saved, went to heaven, and I got to go to hell because of Adam's sin." No. Listen to what it says. "But where sin abounded," Adam's sin as well as other sins, "grace did much more abound." If you can believe that in Adam we all sinned, why can't you believe that in Christ we can be made whole? We can be made again God's children. If we believe one, why don't we believe the other? And our pride doesn't really want to acknowledge sin. I think of the time when this was applied to Hopeful, as John Bunyan describes it in Pilgrim's Progress, when they were, after they came out of Doubting Castle and were on their way toward the Celestial City, then Christian said to Hopeful, "How did you begin in this way?" And they rehearsed it. What happened in his life, what he heard and what brought fear in his heart, the death of some, hear a bell toll in the church when people died, and other things along the way. And then Christian asked what he did, and he said he asked to be saved. And when he was asked, "Did God answer you?" he said, "No, not the first time, not the second, not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, not the sixth time either." And then, "Well, what did you do?" "Well, there's nothing you can do but stay there at God's feet." And then he said something that we must all think about and know. "One day I saw my sin as greater than ever before." And then he asked and was answered. One of the reasons that people don't receive an answer in praying for salvation is that they don't believe their sin is as great as it really is, as great as the Scripture says it is. Worthy of death. worthy of hell. I remember when I was seeking the Lord, it was as if I saw those old-time scales. A weighing measure was on one side, and whatever would be weighed would be put on the other side to be measured against it. And I saw my sin on one side and hell on the other, and there was a perfect balance. God will never punish us more than we deserve. He will not punish us less than we deserve either, or he would not be just. Sin and hell are the same, and how terrible hell is going to be if we have to spend eternity thinking about our sin that we should not have done, and when we had done it, that we should have repented and acknowledged it before God and said, it's as bad as God says it is, that the wages of sin is death, eternal death. We may not understand it, but it is to be believed, and we are to exhort one another in it. We are to preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul did. And that's what brought these Romans to this place here, that he could say to them, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, justified from our guilt, forgiven for our sins, pardoned. Yes, guilty, but pardoned. And then as the last verse of this fifth chapter states, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, how that was known in the Great Awakening when Edwards preached it, and how it should be known much more today in plainness to so many more, that the Lord would revive the church in these truths and repentance, as he did with the Corinthians, brought them to a godly sorrow. They had been careless, they had been babes, they had been puffed up and proud. But when Paul wrote to them, they recognized it and repented, and they were brought to a better place, from probably what was called the 30-fold in fruit to the 60, or hopefully the 100. That's what we need today, so the church will again be a salt and a light in the way of salvation, in creation, in right marriages, in going against abortion, and going against all the other sins that are there, our country murmuring, dissatisfied. We need to want the faith of our fathers and not despise it. We need to be brought back by God's word and through the church itself being revived and then being used of God for his glory and for the good of mankind. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.